Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Hello, Samar.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. I like singing to you. It's fun.
Yeah. The same here. The same.
It's a bright way to start the day.
Yeah.
Are you feeling better? I know that you have been like with COVID and everything else. Are you like feeling better now?
A little better, and also at the same time, the weather here changes every day. You feel like a season.
Yeah.
I will be fine. I'm just waiting for the next year's summer. So that's what I'm living that's for.
Nothing, like just another 8 months and she'll be fine.
I think 1 year, because we have the summer from half of July until half of August, and that's it.
Yeah, I understand.
How is your preparation for WordCamp US?
It's going very well. I finished my slides yesterday because, as you know, I'm now a speaker at WordCamp US. So I'm very excited. I was a backup speaker, and it's actually a good story for our guest today because I'll share it with you in a few minutes after we bring her in, because there was self-advocacy involved in my becoming a speaker for WordCamp US. And my daughter, when I told her, I'm like, hey, I'm speaking at WordCamp US, her response was, your self-advocacy paid off, Mom. And I was like, well, I have to tell Shelby that now. And speaking of Shelby, we do have our guest with us today, Shelby Waklu. Welcome to Underrepresented in Tech.
Thank you so much for having me. So excited to be here with both of you.
We're excited to have you as well. And I love when people reach out to us and say, hey, I think I have a lot to contribute, and I would love to share through your podcast, because we are all about underrepresentation and what that means. And self-advocacy is so important for underrepresented groups, especially. It's important for everybody. But underrepresented groups, we seem to have to fight harder and longer for all the things that we desire and actually deserve as well, right? For things that are equitable and things like that. So welcome. Excited. You wrote a book called Self-Advocacy, Your Guide to Getting What You Deserve at Work. And I've leafed through it quickly because I just downloaded it last night in case anybody's like, oh, Michelle must know everything about this book yet. No, but I will say that I think that just, you know, having looked through it quickly, you can apply this to more than work as well, but there are definitely some chapters focused on asking for promotions and asking and negotiating salary and things like that. But the first part of the book is really about, what is self-advocacy? Why is it important? How do you do it? So, wow, I'm excited that we have an expert in our premise, in our podcast today. Hey. So thanks for joining us. So tell us a little bit about yourself though. I'm talking
yeah, so absolutely. No, I'm so grateful to be here. And, you know, as you said, I think underrepresented in tech, it describes me as well. I am a woman of color in a tech position. I think I've been in rooms my entire career where I was the first or the only, and in some cases both. And so my name is Shelby. I have been in tech for almost 17 years at this point. By day, my profession is in the data field. I was a data executive for many years. And just over the last year, I started working for myself as a data consultant and also as a self-advocacy consultant, which is the stuff that I do based on my book.
I love that. Okay. Well, let me tell you my little story, and you can tell me if you think it was self-advocacy. So I applied to speak at WordCamp US, like very many people. There was a lot of applications this year, from what I understand. And after a while, I started to see people say, oh, I got picked to speak at WordCamp US. And then other people reached out to me and said, oh, my talk wasn't selected. And still, I had heard nothing. And so I waited almost a week and still I had heard nothing. So I went, I made a direct message to somebody who's on the team there. And I said, if I haven't heard anything, does that mean I haven't been selected? And they said, well, let me check. I don't have an application for you. And I said, but I did apply. And then they checked even further and said, oh, we got your application, but it was just your name, nothing else. Which was interesting because they were all required fields. So where did that information go? How did I submit it? But I had taken screenshots of everything before I hit submit. And so I said, well, these are the talks that I had submitted. Let me show you. And they came back and said, we would love to have you as a backup speaker since the schedule was already out. And of course, I understood that. I was incredibly disappointed, of course, that I wasn't selected, but you know, whatever. And so then last week they said, we have somebody who's not able to make it. So we would, if you're ready, we would love to have you speak at WordCamp US. And so that's when I said to my daughter, I had been selected, and she said, your self-advocacy paid off because I wasn't willing to just say, oh, okay, no problem, and walk away. But to say, this is what I submitted, and this is, you know, if there's any place for me to speak, this is what I would like to talk about. And so this is a little example of it, because normally I'd be like, oh, well, okay. But I didn't want to let down this time because I had purposely not organized the event this year so that I could apply to speak. And so to not even have been considered was very disappointing.
Yeah, but it worked out so great. I mean, I think anytime you do anything that is in the best interest of you, your career, that is self-advocacy. So I love this story and I love this example.
Well, it paid off because I'm speaking next week.
That's great.
Yay!
Very
Very exciting.
Shelby, your book on self-advocacy has become a bestseller. I want to know, why do you believe self-advocacy is crucial today in professional world, practically for women and practically for all the underrepresented in tech?
Yeah, absolutely. First I'll just say that it's been mind-blowing to me that it was a topic that I just randomly started talking about many years ago. And the response I got from all the people who attended the first talk that I ever gave, and some of the successive talks that I gave was so wild. And it's always been clear to me that self-advocacy is something that I think we mentioned this, that it is something that almost by design, it tends to matter more to people who are underrepresented. I mean, here we're talking about tech, but I think it can be in any field, that when you don't have people who look like you, who have shared experiences with you, it is harder to see examples of success. And so you are almost DIYing your own path to success. And that requires a lot of intentionality, that requires you trying to take more control of your outcomes because you have less people to rely on who might help you because you remind them of themselves maybe when they were younger. So I think to your point, it's a skill that I think is not just important today. I think it's been important all the time. And oddly enough, I had an education in technology. There was no class that taught me how to negotiate. There was no program that taught me how to speak up for myself or how to even position myself in a good light on a daily basis. So I do think it's a crucial skill because it is something that interns need. It is something that CEOs need. It's never something that you're never done with self-advocacy. And that's why that's why I'm very grateful to people who care about this topic because I think it's relevant.
Absolutely. I think about so many people in tech, especially, are introverted, right? And then you add on top of that underrepresentation, and it feels hard to say what you want and to advocate for the things that you want and need in your life. How do you help somebody who is an introverted person and the thought of it feels confrontational, right? It feels confrontational to ask for a raise. It feels confrontational to ask for promotion, but it's not. And like, no offense to the white men in the world, but white men don't ever think it's confrontational. And they're like, yep, I'm gonna just go ask for that. So how do you get over that feeling of I don't want to cause a problem by asking for what I need?
I think it's a valid thing that people think about because if you have not encountered a situation before, if it's a very rare occurrence for you to have to do something, by design you don't have practice doing it. So it is inherently hard to get your mind wrapped around like how to do it. And I would say that one of the things that I say that even for people who are introverted, and just to be clear, like even people who are extroverted may have a really hard time for completely
Sure,
different reasons.
absolutely.
But I think practice is the piece that really makes a difference. if you have had situations where you had no other choice, but you had to advocate for yourself, even if you didn't get the outcome you wanted, it is still something that added to you, because now you have practice. Now you know what didn't work last time. And next time you're going to be able to iterate on your messaging. And you know, I think I was listening to one of your episodes. There was a reference to language learning and Duolingo and all of those things. So I often give that example that there are so many things that can inherently feel, you know, sort of like difficult or conflict, like when you're talking to somebody in a language that they know very well and you don't know for the first time, that can feel quite, you know, it can feel quite overwhelming. But eventually, like, you know that there are millions of people in this world who have learned a new language and become successful at it. And if they could do it, so can you. So if your why is clear, you know, bringing that back to self-advocacy, if your why is clear, like, why do I need to advocate for myself? When you see that very, very clearly, then you almost can gamify it. You can almost say, like, okay, how do I reverse engineer figuring out the steps I need to take to better advocate for myself? And it is very much a teachable skill for sure.
Why do you think it's easier to advocate for others than self sometimes?
Yeah, I think that's pretty common. I think when you're advocating for somebody else, it inherently feels like a less selfish thing to do, because I think a lot of tags with self-advocacy are about selfish, that, oh, if I ask for a raise, that's selfish. Or if I you know, point out that I'm actually doing a great job and my boss is not noticing, that's selfish. And so I think that is the mindset that people have. I always say that one, even advocating for others teaches you the message that works, teaches you the way to get to speak to people's emotions in a successful way, or to draw attention to the facts in a way that actually inspires action. And so I think it's a great way to, if people are uncomfortable advocating for themselves, but they have it easier advocating for someone else, I still think that can still help you. Like, if you're advocating for a group, some of those outcomes will still help you.
Nice. I was checking about your website, and you spoke in 100 global conferences. It was really impressive. From meeting people from your talk, and what was the most common issue around self-advocacy? I know we talked about it a little bit before, and I know you said by training, but how you can do the training. And also, I know you started your YouTube channel, the 1 minute for
One minute left.
self-advocacy,
Yes.
to teach people how to do it. Is it the only thing people now, as you said earlier, like to start training? Do you really come over it? Because I know a lot of people just, as also Michelle said, it's really difficult to stand up yourself. When you stand up for someone else or talking about someone else, it's much easier. And the training, how do you start? Or are there other issues, like you should also work on them, or do you just focus on them?
Yeah, I think, you know, from my sort of experience, so outside of the conferences that I've spoken at or other events that I've done, I have also coached individuals. So I have had a chance to sort of, you know, speak to individuals. In some cases, it's recurring, like I've spoken to them multiple times. And I do feel that I feel confident in the fact that there are, like, I can list many examples of people who started from, a space where they found it very difficult to just speak up. Like, even the simple thing that, you know, their manager asks them, what are you working on? And they'll respond with, oh, nothing super important. And you know inherently that that answer is not helpful to you. You know inherently that underplaying the value that you add is not good for you. And so how do you switch from, you know, oh, I'm not working on anything important, to here's what I worked on, and elaborate more on it? Like, it's such simple things like this. So I do feel that I have a lot of examples of people who have, you know, really started their journey from a very, very sort of early stage, and then moved on to get better at it. And I have people who have told me that, hey, I was so nervous about X, Y, and Z. And, you know, 5 months later, I have that promotion that I want, or I'm getting more opportunities from my boss, or I'm showing up in a light that is more, that is more relevant. So I do think that that's, you know, one of the common, the most common trend that I've heard from people is that the people who come to me for coaching, they are intentional about it. But people who hear me at a conference, many of them come and say, oh, I'd never thought about self-advocacy, but everything that you said, all the examples you gave resonated with me. And I'm wondering why I never thought about it. So, you know, that's pretty cool in a way that at least you get people to think about it.
It is for sure. And it also makes me think, you know, there are things you grow up and you think that can't be taught. Like somebody can't be taught to be confident, you know, because you either are or you aren't. But that's not entirely true, is it? You can be coached into some of those things.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I, you know, even the confidence, like part of confidence is just, again, you have done it before. So hence, you know what to expect, and that those butterflies in your stomach that you were getting earlier, like they go away after a while. I often share this with people that if you had met me even 5 years ago, I was a very different person. I've always been an extrovert. I've always been very good on stage, but I am inherently a very shy person. And I know it's hard to reconcile extroversion with shyness, but it is true. Like I am energized by people, but I'm also afraid of them in sort of those, you know, one-on-one sort of settings. So I do think that it is trainable. And if you break it down to, you know, the little bit of the science and the little bit of the art, that is to it, I think it gives people that reassurance that I can try this and see how it goes and try it on for size and then tweak accordingly.
Absolutely. Do you think that there's, I think in my own case, sometimes I think of advocating for others and then I try to put myself as the other. So for example, I think of those, like I was a single mom raising a daughter and putting myself through school, and that girl deserves the things that I want to have in my life now. So if I can't advocate for myself, I can advocate for her, even though she's me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. that does.
That's a nice one. Yeah. Me, I still have issue that I also do some practice. I noticed myself the last 6 months, I'm speaking up more for me. For others, yeah, I can fight for like I'm like I will go extra mile for a lot of people, but for me, and even asking for promotion or extra money at work, I coming from culture, it's unpolite to ask for it for our money. So that it took me a lot of courage to break and start talking like, yeah, I deserve more money. I'm doing this and this. And it's really awesome that, yeah, I mean, I'm taking baby steps. I'm like, and hopefully one day I will be able to do it for myself fully.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, you know, even that I love that framing that, you know, you're doing it for yourself, but think of yourself as that other. Like I always encourage people when you're writing your performance review, for example, write it in as if you're not writing it, your best friend is writing it, you know, because your best friend is never going to underplay your achievements. Your best friend is never going to say like, oh, this was no big deal. Your best friend is going to say like, this was this awesome thing that my friend did. So if that makes it easier for you to sort of switch out that voice, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know, like, I'm looking at the chapters of your book and there's, you know, creating, setting goals, measuring success, self-gratitude. So tell us a little bit about what self-gratitude means in your book.
Yeah. So I'm a person who strongly believes that I think when you express gratitude regularly, one, you clarify what, you know, I mean, just expressing gratitude is nice. Like it makes you feel nicer because it, one, reminds you of all the things that are going well. Or, you know, maybe you haven't reached the outcome that you wanted, but just the fact that you tried, just the fact that you were intentional, just the fact that you prioritized it, that is still something to celebrate. So I think the more you thank yourself for making an effort, the more you thank the universe for the things that did end up going your way, and the more you also register intentionally that, hey, my colleague helped me out on this and that helped me get a goal that I want. I think it just draws your attention to the things that are beneficial for you. It draws your attention to the things that you want. So self-gratitude as a practice, you know, it may sound like, oh, this is just a sort of a, you know, wild, vague thing, but it does register in your brain as something that you should be caring about, that you should be thinking about. And you seek out more of the things that you want in your life, because you are reminding yourself that this is something that brings you joy. This is something that brings you satisfaction.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very cool. So the other question I had, and it left very briefly, but now it's back, is when women self-advocate and when women have that level of confidence to be able to go after the things they want, we often get labeled as a bitch, or other words, to put it quite bluntly.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that part of it? So do I just remove it from self-talk? Do I not care? Do I embrace it and own it? Like, yes, I am a bad bitch, botch, whatever the words they use now. How do you navigate over those kinds of, you know, just the fact that it happens?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because there will always be some people who will think of you as aggressive or bitchy, no matter how nice you are, no matter how polite you are. Like, and I think if people just sort of embrace that there are going to be some people who you can never ever please. Like, that is just, you know, so free yourself of that. Of that expectation that I'm going to be able to please everybody all the time. Like, you know, I think if we set the stage with that, I think it helps people. I think about the other part, I do find it to be a useful exercise to, you know, at least reflect back. And again, like I think women might overcorrect on this. So I want to say, like, I'm not saying it because I want women to always be thinking about how they said what they said and how they said it. But I do think that if you switch the emotion up from, you know, let's take that example of I want a promotion and I'm upset that I didn't get one. If you go in with the emotion that I'm upset I didn't get something, or I'm upset that somebody else got it, and or like, you know, my manager overlooked me. If you enter with that emotion, it is more likely that your words will sort of, you know, come out in a way that is maybe not even constructive to your cause. Like, again, I don't care if people consider you aggressive in that scenario, but it is more about, it may not get you what you want. But if you switch it up and say that, okay, leave aside that I'm upset about something, but I want to understand what I need to do to get a promotion in the future. I want to make sure that I understand what is required in terms of my performance to be seen as being set up for promotion. So if you frame it as, I want to ask for help and I want to ask for clarity, I think it's a totally different emotion that you're entering that conversation with. And it is more likely to have the outcome that you want, because you can be upset. You're 100% allowed to be upset, but that is not what you're focusing on. You're focusing on the next steps. You are focusing on making sure that your manager understands that you want a promotion, that you care about it, and that you would like their help with it. So I think that is sort of my advice, that I do think it helps to just take a step back and say, what is the most constructive way that I can show up? But you know what? Everybody has emotions. Like, it's not just women. Like, I think we've seen plenty of examples of men having very hard emotions out there. But I think it's fair. I think eventually, you know, you're going to have things which rub people the wrong way. Maybe you've said it super nicely and they're still upset about it. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, you are on your own journey. You're trying to get what you want.
Yeah. I've heard this said, that they say that women are emotional, but we're not the ones punching holes in walls when we get upset.
Absolutely right.
That's totally true.
And, I mean, if you're listening right now, whoever you are out there, we're not suggesting that all men punch holes in walls. That is not what we're suggesting. But
nope.
But of all the holes that have been punched into walls, the majority of them came from a male fist, not a woman's fist. So.
Yeah.
Somehow, what questions do you have?
Me, I have a little bit Different question. It is like n not to talk about your book. I want to know. I was reading about you that you grew up, and also you said that you grew up in India and you moved to the US. What advice would you give to a woman or people underrepresented in tech to break into leadership roles? Because you have a very impressive career and you're a very successful woman. And what kind of advice is you can share with them? Is it just focus on self-advocacy? What else would you like to advise them?
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you so much. I feel that if I look back at my own career journey, you know, sometimes I'm trying to sift through what happened because I was, you know, sort of right place, right time, and what was I intentional about? And I would say that even sometimes I think that even some of the things that just happened, like of course, you know, luck is a huge element, like, you know, being in a position where you could go after an increased opportunity in a manner is it really matters. But I would say that I think a few years ago, probably around the time that I started focusing on self-advocacy, I really felt that need of I called it like I want the reins of my career in my own hands. I don't want somebody else. Like I don't want to rely on a great manager or a good company to make sure I get to where I want to go. I want to sort of chart out that path. So, you know, the leadership focus, I think I'd been in multiple management positions, and at that time I had that thing that I should still stay in touch with the technical side. So I'm a coder, like, you know, I was an engineer, I was in data, and I felt that I had to make sure that I keep my coding skills very sharp. So even though I was a manager, I was still coding on a regular basis. And then I started identifying that, okay, who are the people ahead of me that I would want to have similar sort of career paths? In some cases, some of those people I just reached out to, and they were open to talking to me. So you know, that itself was an act of self-advocacy, just reaching out to people and asking if they were open to sharing their experience. And even though I didn't end up following the exact same path, like I built out my own path, but just hearing from people's stories, I think is super valuable. And you know, your podcast, I think you share so many people's stories that are so valuable to people. So I really am very much in awe of, you know, just the amount of information that you and others like you are able to put out. Because I think, you know, to what I said earlier, there are so many people who cannot find mentors in this industry because they have less people who look like them, who are ahead of them. And that's why I think, you know, these podcasts serve a huge purpose because you can get access to somebody, you know, across the world who's doing something that you consider cool. I, for example, like I have never had a female manager. Somehow in 17 years, five companies, I had 16 managers, and I not a single one of them was female. So like, and you know, I have had teams, like my last team was 50-50 in terms of gender representation. So I have hired tons of women, but I have never had that, you know, for myself. So I think it does take quite a lot of intentionality. I would say that only 5 years ago did I actually start mapping out what I want to do and how I get to department leadership roles and what I need as a signal before that to be eligible for those department leadership roles.
I have removed the word luck out of my history for a reason, because I was dating a man last year and I was saying that I was going to be going to the places that I get to travel to. And he said, "Man, you're so lucky." And I said, "No, luck had nothing to do with it. I have worked very hard to be where I am today." And a lot of that was self-advocacy as well, of course, right? And so yes, of course, there's always an element of luck in being in the right place, the right time, but you actually sometimes navigate yourself to those places as well. And so I think, you know, you ask for those things, and even if it's like the secret, like I'm putting it out to the universe kind of thing, right? That sometimes things come together. But yes, I do acknowledge that there is sometimes luck in things. But yeah, but man, when somebody says to me, "You take really good pictures, you must have a good camera." And I say, "Well, you're a really good writer, you must have a good laptop." I mean, that's the same idea, right?
You're
So
really
yeah.
good at it, so yeah.
So, So yes, a little bit of luck, but a lot of work to get to where we are and what we deserve in the world, for sure, for sure. Awesome. Well, any last parting ideas, thoughts, things that you wanted to share that we didn't ask you about, perhaps? We will include a link to your book in the show notes. So if anybody's interested in reading Self-Advocacy or Guide to Getting What You Deserve at Work, you can click through. It's available on Amazon. That's where I found it. It went right into my Kindle, and I shall be reading it soon for sure. But anything else, Shelby, that you wanted to talk about or wanted to share?
No, I think this was a wonderful conversation, and I would say that, for anybody who is listening to this episode, I hope they one, identify what it is that they want out of their career. Like, I think that part itself, like just being clear about what your intentions are, what your goals are. And I think once you pick those intentions, the motivation to get all the skills that you need, soft skills, technical skills, all of those to get to that outcome, I think it makes it a lot easier. So I hope everybody who's listening feels inspired to go after whatever they deserve, because they've earned it.
Yeah, they don't have to do it
Awesome.
alone. They can find coaches that will help you or friends that will mirror for you and those kinds of things. I think I agree 100%. Go after the things you deserve. You absolutely have earned them. So thank you. Any last thoughts, Sama?
Not at all. I just want to say something that also to follow you on YouTube, because like me, I just watched a couple of videos and I think that that's something really nice. I will definitely buy the book. I will definitely read it. That something is on my plan to work on myself for
Yay.
this year. So yeah, and I don't know. I hope to see you one day, real life, like one day you speaking at any conference if you are in Europe or somewhere to catch you somewhere else in this world. Yeah.
I am a huge Europhile, so I will definitely see you in Europe at some
Yay!
point.
Nice. That would be nice. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank
Awesome. Well,
you.
we'll put your website, your book, all of the things, your YouTube channel so that people can follow. We'll put that all in the show notes. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. I really do appreciate your self-advocacy and reaching out and saying, hey, I want to be on your podcast. So that it's paid off for us for sure. And I hope that you've enjoyed your time here today
No,
too.
for me as well. So I appreciate both of you having me. Thank you so much. This was super nice.
It's our pleasure. Just a quick note, we will not be recording next week. So we will have this episode this week. There will not be one next week because of WordCamp US. We'll be back the week after. So everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Underrepresented in Tech. Thank you.
Hi.
Bye.
If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.